You're listening to Ask a Black Doctor, Friday Facts About COVID-19 featuring Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a half an hour as we discuss issues surrounding the current pandemic, vaccines and distribution, dispel myths, provide facts, and address concerns. We'll also be providing updates about COVID-19 vaccines and discuss how we can build a better culture around Black health. Episodes will be available wherever you listen to podcasts, so head on over to thenumbers.fm for the link to the show. Now let's jump into it. We want to thank you all for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor. I am DJ Ambush here with Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Happy New Year, everyone. It's our first episode of 2022. How are you doing, Doc?
Man, I wish I could say I'm doing well, but two things. The first one is, over the last 24 hours, man, I developed a really bad scratchy throat and stuffy nose, you know, rhinorrhea, runny nose. Mm. And I'm a little under the weather, but I'm still hanging in there.
To
work, you know, get on my job for the day.
Yes.
But it's strange having this, because back in the day, I probably wouldn't have thought much of it, but because of COVID-19, you know, you got to think, hey, is this COVID? And because I traveled, just like we were talking earlier, I traveled over the holidays. I got tested on Sunday when the scratchy throat actually started, and PCR test, and it was negative. But, you know, the question becomes, did I test too early? Did I, you know, is this accurate? Do I need to retest again?
Yeah.
No, you got to think about all those things. Hey, I'm a physician, but I still have to worry about, am I really safe? Should I be going around and going to the store or going to the gym or doing whatever else I need to do, or going to work for that matter, given the fact that, you know, I'm a little under the weather. My default is, hey, you got to act like you have it, protect yourself, protect others, and don't go into all those things.
Right.
So that's one. And the second thing is, man, I am so concerned about the world, man, about the state of, you know, this pandemic, which we'll talk about in this episode. But in talking about how I'm doing physically and mentally, I am really concerned about what's going on, not just in Portland and in Oregon and the rest of the country, but in the rest of the world with COVID-19.
Yeah.
All that, having said all of that, I have to ask, how are you, my man? How are you doing? How's the new year treating you?
It's funny. You talking about the scratchy throat has me thinking about, I've been dealing with this post-nasal drip for over a year now, you know? I remember when it first, like, seemed like, you know, it wasn't going to go away for, like, you know, the first 2 or 3 months. It had me thinking, like, is this long COVID? Is this an effect of long COVID? Like, your mind just goes all over the place. But I don't want to say I'd trade places with you, but just a scratchy throat being a scratchy throat and it not being COVID? Yes, absolutely.
No,
but I feel your occupation doesn't protect you in any way from contracting it or having to behave any differently than anyone else with it. Yeah. Man. But, I mean, other than that, you know, we made it. We're in the new year.
Gotta be grateful.
Be very grateful. Absolutely grateful. We're grateful for everyone that has been on this journey with us since we started. I'm concerned about the state of the world right now and with everything that's happening, especially with Omicron. We're seeing some record numbers now, right?
Man, it's unbelievable what's happening. Listen, this country where we've had vaccines, you know, for over a year now, and we're still in this place where, you know, not enough folks are vaccinated, that it's rampaging in our society.
Yeah. So this episode, we're going to be discussing Omicron, boosters, and breakthrough cases. As always, if you have any questions after the episode, definitely feel free to head over to the numbers.fm, post any questions there. We will address them during the episode. And please put any questions or comments in the comment section anywhere you see any promo around this episode. So we've been hearing that getting a booster dose of the COVID-19 vaccine will help protect against the Omicron variant. Could you give us a little bit more information on that?
Well, so getting vaccinated is probably the best thing you can do to protect yourself, right? But now that we've had these vaccines, like we mentioned earlier, we've had these vaccines for over a year, getting a booster shot sort of to remind your immune system that to make the cellular infrastructure, the factories it needs to fight this disease is probably the wisest thing that you can do. But it's an incredibly complex conversation, right? When we talk about booster shots, third shots in this country and the other countries like Israel that are already talking about fourth shots, a second booster, essentially, where we have countries like South Africa, which has vaccinated 35% or 40% of its population. Right. Uganda is at about 10%. So it's concerning when we're talking about third shots for people in the developed world, whereas most people in the developing world haven't had a single dose. So it's something that, if we're honest about it, we would have to say that we have acted rather immorally as a developed world. But given that the shots, if I don't take my booster shot, it's not like that one particular shot is going to be given to someone from Uganda or someone right. from Zimbabwe. Right. So it's a biomedical dilemma, ethics dilemma that we have to come to terms with. And I think the honest truth is we need to get boosted if those booster shots are available to you. Mm. And the reason you get boosted is because it revs up your immune system. And if in the event you were to get the Omicron variant, which is now the dominant variant in this country and in Portland as well, you are still protected from getting a severe illness. So that's why you get boosted, to protect, to make sure that you don't end up in the hospital and to make sure that you don't end up, in some cases, dead.
Yeah, I saw a tweet. It was really, really funny. Someone tweeted, you can still catch COVID-19 whether you have the vaccine or not. And then I think it was a physician that responded, I play tennis and Serena Williams plays tennis. There's a huge difference
in
what the outcome is going to be here. So yeah, it's important that people do understand. You don't just get to throw caution to the wind and be like, it doesn't matter whether you have it or not. You can still get it. But it does decrease the severity of what you're going to experience. And when we're talking about these different variants in existence and still understanding what some of the long-term effects are, why would you gamble with possibly getting something you may or may not be able to get rid of?
It's mind-boggling, but I understand that there are people with questions and concerns that we need to address, that we need to talk to those people, right, and hear them out. But at the same time, I think the important thing is to say we need to rise as a nation and step up to the plate.
Yeah.
And do the right thing, not just for ourselves, but for everybody else.
Yeah. We're all connected, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And if anything, not to pull a lesson out of this, but if anything, the COVID-19 virus is showing us how much we need each other to be on the same page, how much we need to be considering each other globally. and the way that we move. So you mentioned earlier there are some nations that are talking about their fourth shot, so the second booster.
Yeah.
Where could they possibly be in vaccine administration where you are that far along where you're four shots in? We're right now getting people to the point of catching up with the third shot, with their booster. And it, from what I understand, there's supposed to be a specific length of time, right, in between your second and third shot. Is it the exact same thing for the third or fourth, or is there a shortened amount of time? Like, how does that work? When are you supposed to be getting? What's the window for your booster dose?
So let's. I'll answer that in two ways. Let's talk about what's happening here in the U.S. Right? What is the FDA? What is the CDC recommending when it comes to booster shots? The guidelines were recently changed this past Monday, where for Pfizer shots, you can now get a booster shot 5 months after your second shot.
Okay.
And that's been extended to 12 kids, 12 and anyone 12 and older.
Okay.
Yeah. For the Moderna, it's still 6 months after your second shot. For Johnson & Johnson, it's 2 months. It's 2 months after your initial shot. Yeah. So what they're doing in Israel is they're saying that they vaccinated early at the very beginning. They got a lot of people vaccinated much quicker than we did. It's also a much smaller population. It's also very homogeneous, and they stepped up to the plate and did the right thing, vaccinated a whole bunch of folks, encouraged folks to get vaccinated, which was the right thing to do. Then they actually beat us also to getting their third shot, their booster shots.
Okay.
They started much earlier than everybody else. And so they've been at the forefront of doing this. And
gotcha.
So from their population, they've seen that the immunity that you get from a booster shot begins to wane after a certain period, especially in the elderly folks. And that's why they're saying that they're going to give a fourth dose to anyone 60 and older. That's the population that they're starting with.
Okay.
Then I'm quite certain that they will increase that with time.
What are the risks of getting a booster shot too early? I understand that as we get new information about different variants, it could cause, you know, a sense of alarm and some frenzy amongst those of us that live in nations where booster shots are available. Was there a risk of getting your booster too early?
The honest truth is there really isn't that big of a risk to getting your booster shot too early. It also goes back to the ethical dilemma we're talking about, where we're utilizing all these shots that should be, in all honesty, going to countries that have less resources.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Something else popped up over the weekend. It caused a little bit of panic in the household. Flurona. So the way it hit us, we're like, oh my gosh, there is another variant. It's COVID-19 and the flu working together. It's like, oh no, what are we going to do? And this case was in India, and what actually had happened. Someone who was not vaccinated against either the COVID-19 and the flu ended up contracting them both at the same time, or having them at the same time, which created the state of Flurona. Necessarily created a new, you know, strain of anything. I remember when we had Dr. Evans on a couple of weeks ago, he said to me, Ambush, I know you're talking about your booster, but did you get your flu shot?
That was awesome how you brought it in, right?
It was so good. It was so good. So, when you first heard about that, what was your initial reaction?
Well, so we do know that you can always have co-infection with multiple viruses, right? So it's quite possible that, and I know for a fact that last winter, actually I keep on saying last year when I'm thinking of 2020. No, I'm thinking of 2020.
Oh, wow.
I guess I'm still in 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but in 2020, the winter of 2020, there were people that had both the flu, both the flu and coronavirus at the same time. So it's been around for a while. It's just that people love playing with words and, you know, they're calling it the flu-rona.
Yeah. We don't need any creativity there at all. We don't need any additional sensationalism around what we're already experiencing.
Yeah.
Are there any things to consider, anything specifically to consider around getting your booster shot?
Well, so I think the main consideration is, are you eligible for your booster shot? And if you are, get it as soon as possible. Okay. Because as we've talked about in the past, the Omicron is significantly more transmissible than Delta, which was significantly more transmissible than the two previous bad boys, Alpha and the original strain. So we're dealing with something that's it's a beast. It's a beast. It's a bigger beast than Delta in terms of its transmissibility. Mm-hmm. So we need to be. That's the main consideration. Protect yourself from getting severe illness from this highly transmissible variant.
Okay. Are we seeing a trend with the increase of the transmissibility of these variants? Now, here's the thing. I'm sure there are variants that exist and, you know, are coming out that we don't get to hear about. Maybe they're not as transmissible. Maybe they die off more quickly. But with this being even more transmissible than the Delta variant, should our minds just be open to expect that moving forward, that these viruses become more efficient in their ability to spread?
Yeah. So you bring up something really interesting, right? And I think we talked about it early on at the beginning, maybe 20 episodes ago, 25 episodes ago, about the race between the virus and humans.
Right.
The virus is trying to mutate as quickly as possible, one, to evade the immune system, two, to become more transmissible. And on the human side, hopefully we're getting vaccinated as quickly as possible to avoid getting sick and to avoid spreading this disease. So viruses by nature, their very nature is they want to survive. They want to infect as many people as possible. And their goal is not to kill us. Their goal is to propagate, you know, go out there and conquer whatever living organism that they infect.
Right.
And so if you live and if you don't end up dying, the virus has become successful, right? Because then you can spread it. It can continue spreading within you. It can continue replicating within you, and you can spread it to other folks. So with time, as we're seeing with coronavirus, it's becoming more and more and more transmissible. And with the latest Omicron variant, we suspect that it is not as deadly as Delta, but it is still deadly, right? If it infects a whole lot more people, by the sheer the mere fact that we will have more numbers, we'll have more people ending up in the hospital, we'll have more people dying from it. So it's not that the virus has become more dangerous, more lethal. It's just that more people are infected.
And with more infections, we get more variants, more mutations.
Yes.
This new variant, the Omicron variant, is 46 mutations, you said?
No, so this is the Omicron has about 50 mutations.
Okay.
The one that's in France that was recently discovered, that's a variant that's a variant of concern has about 46 mutations. We don't have a lot of information about this.
Right.
It was first identified in southern France, and the individual, I understand, was had been to Cameroon at some point, so
Okay.
they suspect that the individual may have gotten it prior to coming, but we don't have
Yeah.
enough details yet to speak about it.
Okay. So we'll stay away from any specifics on that particular variant, but could you give us a little bit more information on what it means as far as the mutation count within a variant? What does that mean, and what are the concerns from the medical side when they hear something like a double or tripling in the amount of mutations within a variant? What exactly is happening at that point?
So that's a very good question. So the concern, right, is that there will be more, that it will spread more easily, and that it will evade our immune systems. So it becomes just different enough that our immune systems that may be primed from previous infection or from previous vaccination may not be able to deal with it effectively.
So, all right. So, I'm going to try this analogy that I think will help our listeners, because I think it's kind of like helping me kind of sort through understanding this. So, the mutations are different doors for me in my head. If this vaccine is a pathway, no, the virus is a pathway, and the vaccine's job is to keep all the doors closed so it can't get through. The more mutations there are more doors that this vaccine is responsible for keeping closed, because those different mutations have to all have to all be covered within this particular vaccine. Does that sound right? Kind of. Okay. And as it mutates, as we get more mutations, that's why a vaccine may become less effective, because of the amount of mutations that we haven't caught up with, as far as development and from the scientific side of trying to trying to prohibit the spread. Okay. Wow. We're in some tough times here.
It's and we gotta do the right thing, right? We
Yeah.
gotta protect each other. We gotta do the right thing to make sure that folks are protected by getting vaccinated. That's
Yeah.
probably the best way to protect ourselves.
Can we talk a little bit about breakthrough cases? That's going to be, a huge talking point now, especially with people deciding whether they should or shouldn't get the booster shot. What does it really mean? And I do like the term. I feel like we're recontextualizing every episode we have what it means to have a breakthrough case. For people to understand, these are isolated incidents. This isn't the norm. And quite often, when you hear from someone in your community, they're like, "Well, I heard such and such." They're all talking about one case. It's not like there are a bunch of different people that are. There's so many breakthrough cases. The way the numbers are panning out, everyone can't have a single friend who is also the breakthrough case. There just can't be that many cases. The vaccine would be ineffective. They wouldn't be breakthroughs. But could you talk a little bit about that?
So the term, as we have used it so far, breakthrough cases is it's a case that occurs in someone who's infected. It's a case that it's an infection with COVID-19 in someone who was previously vaccinated. That's a term that we've used previously, but now that we have gone far enough. So, for instance, if you're a healthcare worker and you got your first dose in December of 2020, and then you got your second dose in January of 2021, you're more than 12 months out you're 12 months out from being fully vaccinated. Mm-hmm. So if you were to get infected now, do we still call that a breakthrough case, given that your immune system has waned? Probably not. It's not a true breakthrough case, as in the sense of the way we were using the term previously, because previously we meant if you had been vaccinated, and that meant within the 6 to 8 months, and you got another case, you got infected again, you got infected after getting vaccinated, then that's truly a breakthrough case. We're seeing it more and more with the Omicron variant, right? Because as we've talked about, the Omicron variant has so many mutations on it, such that it's evading our immune systems in certain populations, especially in elderly folks or folks who are immunocompromised. So that's why we need to get booster shots to make sure that our immune system is reminded of our immune system is improved in terms of that cellular infrastructure that we've been talking about.
Mm. That's thank you for breaking that down. That's really, really plain and simple to understand. I think we've all been in this for so long, we kind of forget what part time plays in the immunization process and the vaccination process. Like, people that are vaccinated are now catching Omicron, but when was their second dose? Wow, I didn't even think about that. How long ago was the second dose? This isn't a coverall that's going to protect you forever. We have to be getting boosters. We have to be getting booster shots. We have to re-up on this. So thank you for that. I think that'll be a very, very useful talking point and discussion point for our listeners.
I will also say, however, that so I got my booster shot maybe 2 months ago, and I know several folks. I know at least 10 folks who got their booster shots who have come down with COVID-19 after getting their booster shot. So all that to say that Omicron is different from what we have been dealing with.
Got you.
And thankfully, none of these 10 people that I know have had a severe illness that required them, to be bedridden or required them to be in the hospital. So it's a good thing that they got their booster shot. It protected them from a severe illness.
That's good. That's great, actually. So we have to do everything we can, listeners and community, to get out there and make sure you get your booster shots. It's going to protect you. It's going to protect the people around you. But in addition to that, nothing's changed. Please keep wearing your mask. Try to stay socially distanced as much as possible. There hasn't been any quarantine mandates or anything dropping yet. But do what you can just to try to, distance yourself as much as possible and try to stay away from as many people as you can, because this thing is very, very contagious.
Yeah, it is. It is. You bring up something very interesting regarding isolation and quarantining, right? The CDC recently changed some of these things. Mm-hmm. So if you're asymptomatic, if you test positive and you do not have symptoms, which we refer to as being asymptomatic, you can isolate for 5 days. And on the sixth day, you can end your isolation, meaning you can go back to school, you can go back to work, but you need to be wearing your mask. You need to be wearing a tightly fitting mask as you go around. So that's if you do not have symptoms and you've tested positive. If you do have symptoms, though, you still need to continue with the isolation. Mm-hmm. If you're vaccinated and you are exposed, meaning you come into contact with someone who is positive, who is infected for an extended period of time, and by that I mean 15 or more minutes, with less than 6 feet separating you, over a 24-hour period, then what you need to do is to quarantine only if, you do not need to quarantine if you are vaccinated. So if you're vaccinated, if you're vaccinated, you get exposed, you don't need to quarantine as long as you don't have symptoms. You still need to wear your mask, you still need to practice good physical distancing, washing hands, etc. And those are some of the changes that were recently instituted by the CDC.
Okay. And reminder, I know we just talked about it, but just a reminder, vaccinated, booster, like where are you? Where are you in that timeline?
Yeah.
How long ago were you vaccinated? Is it, you know, it may be time for your booster. How long ago did you get your booster shot? Like, you got to be aware of where you are on the timeline to determine exactly what your next step should be. And, determine how safe it is for you to just be out and about and around people.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, man, thank you. Thank you so much, man. This is a lot of great information here. I am not anxious to hear about this new variant that popped up in France, but I trust and look forward to whatever new information that you might have for us next week on it.
Yep, it'll be hoping for another good discussion. Maybe we can have one of our ID folks, ID friends at OHSU at other places join us for next week's conversation.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. All right, now thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next show.
Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor, airing every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. right here on The Numbers. If you missed it, you can find the link to the full episodes on our website at thenumbers.fm. You can also subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms. Be sure to rate and leave a comment. If you have questions you'd like answered on future episodes, you can submit them through our website or the link in our bio on Instagram and Twitter.